Dun 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 dun. Game of Thrones. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about season 7 of Game of Thrones, you guys. I just can't even. If you're one of those people who is like, I'm so tired of hearing about Game of Thrones, I don't watch it, I don't care, I'm so sorry you just had to sit through that, but oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Game of Thrones is everything. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 61 of the Run Selfie Repeat podcast, where we talk about life with a side of running. Although today we're going to be talking a lot more running with a side of life, but I am your Khaleesi, Kelly Roberts, and today I have a very special episode for you because I have a pretty special guest. It is your favorite sports psychology wizard and mine, Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob's back to talk about a whole bunch of amazing things that I have been struggling with. But before we get into that, let's just take a quick second to say thank you, Squarespace, for sponsoring this episode of the Run Selfie Repeat podcast. I'm not kidding when I say that Squarespace makes it ridiculously easy for knuckleheads like me to create, build, and put out into the world websites that look like we spent a lot of money on them when in reality we didn't. I'm not a very tech savvy person. I really am not. I don't know a thing about creating a website, at least I didn't. And it was my sister who encouraged me to do it on Squarespace, and I'm so grateful for that because had she not have done that, I am so freaking positive that I would not have stuck with it because creating a website is so intimidating and it's just there's so many choices and Squarespace makes it easy. So if you're looking to share your story, we all have one. Everyone's voice deserves to be heard. If you're looking to start your own running blog, if you're looking to share your art, whatever it is that you're looking to do or maybe even thinking about, if you even have had that thought of like, I have this great idea, what do I do with it? Make your next move on Squarespace. Use offer code Kelly for 10% off your purchase of personal domain address and website. Use offer code Kelly, make your next move, do it on Squarespace. You will not regret it, I promise you. Now on to today's episode. So a little backstory. For those of you who do not know what Dr. Bob is, what Dr. Bob is, Dr. Bob is a human. No, Dr. Bob, he's a sports psychologist. I call him a wizard because he is a wizard. No, Dr. Bob came to help me when I was trying to shave a whole bunch of time off my marathon personal best in an attempt to try to chase down an impossible goal I had, which was running a time that was fast and strong enough to get me into the Boston Marathon. It was like 25-ish minutes I had to shave off. They call it a BQ. That's what a BQ is. So I launched this whole thing, BQ or Bust, and it was amazing, and it ended up not the way I wish it would have. And it's kind of put me in a very weird place with my running. And one of the biggest things that I'm most grateful about from Dr. Bob is that he's really given me space since crossing that finish line. We haven't really talked. We've talked a little bit, but he's let me be patient while I work through how I feel about not hitting my goal and not having the race that I thought I deserved. So today on the podcast, we're going to talk a lot about making a comeback, how to get motivated when you can't move past looking backwards and thinking about how strong you used to be, and after taking some time off, coming to terms with the fact that your fitness isn't the same, finding strength in that. We're going to talk about, what else are we going to talk about? We talk about a whole bunch of stuff. It's a big episode. It's a lot of how do I get motivated? How do I get inspired? Why do I run? What am I doing? Why do I care? And we talk a little bit about giving up and self-efficacy. It's a big episode. So without further ado, I'm not going to paraphrase it. I'm just going to let the amazing, incredible Dr. Bob walk us through it. So enjoy. Here's Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob.
Kelly Roberts.
Ah.
I guess that says it all, doesn't it? But you can fill that in with more words if you want to.
I think I finally have the courage to talk to you. About everything that has happened over the last 2 months and then how to go forward.
I'll take that as a compliment because I think that's how you mean it. But it's also kind of funny.
I've had a rough few weeks.
It's been more than a few weeks, hasn't it? It's been a while.
I know. Well, things were going so well, and then I think things went too well, and I fell way too off the I'm doing this to for my health spectrum, and now I'm trying to get going again, and like I'm struggling with motivation, and I feel kind of angry at the running world, and I have all this residual crazy stuff that is just like, where am I at? What the hell am I doing? I miss, and I can't move past, I can't stop thinking about how strong I was like 3 months ago, and I hate myself.
Because you lost some of that?
Yeah, I feel like I've lost all of it, which I know isn't the case because I can drop a mile time that used to be impossible still. But everything's labored and everything feels hard, and it just is so hard to get going again.
Yeah, it's frustrating too, isn't it? Like just remembering how this used to be easy. But remember, before it was easy, it was hard then too.
Yeah.
When you started out, it was much harder when you started the first time than it will be this time.
Yeah.
You've raised the bar on yourself tremendously, too. What you expect from yourself is just that much higher.
Yeah. It's always so funny, too. Like, I never ask for help until I have a handle on it myself, which was eye-opening to come to that conclusion yesterday.
So have you got it figured out for yourself, then?
I think enough that I feel like I have a leg to stand on, and I'm still kind of like trying to grab something else.
Right.
And I think I also was like, hey girl, you don't have to do this alone.
Well, good. I'm glad you called. I've been thinking about you and wondering where in the world Kelly was. So watching it from a distance, it looked like it was very painful. And I could understand why you were just thinking, you know, to heck with this for a while. I need to get away from this and figure out who I am again.
That's kind of where I want to start. And I want to I opened this up and I asked if anyone had any questions for you. And ironically, most of the questions I got are questions that I wanted to ask as well. But I want to start with me because I'm selfish. But I, coming back from BQ or Bust, where right now I don't have a particular goal and I don't think I want one, but I miss that feeling of like feeling like I'm doing everything I can to be the strongest version of myself. And right. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with like running just hard enough that like I really do feel like I'm pushing myself and like doing strength stuff, but like doing it all for the right reasons, which I think I finally got this last cycle of BQ or Bust, where like I loved everything I was doing. It was really hard, but I like loved that feeling I got when I was stepping outside of my comfort zone in the right way, you know? But right now, I feel unfocused.
So I think I talk in terms of two kinds of goals. There's outcome goals, which is what BQ or Bust was for you. You know, it's an objective. If I make this time, I reach my goal kind of thing. And it's what keeps you going in the big picture of things. The smaller picture, the day-to-day, though, is more about what I call process goals, which means, you know, if you used to build a whole, you know, 7-minute miles for 3 miles without any problem, and now you can't, then that's probably the next goal for you. It's not to build a run of a half marathon or a marathon or anything else. It's something, it's a checkpoint along the way that tells you, okay, I'm a little better today than I was yesterday or 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's going to take a little while to get to, you know, to anywhere near where you want to be, but think of it just in terms of a series of much smaller process goals. It's not... 3 7-minute miles is not going to be the outcome you're looking for, but
yeah.
If you can run 3 7-minute miles, then maybe you can put a 10K together, and then maybe you can put a half marathon if you want to together. But you're not aiming for the BQ. You're just aiming to make the next corner, if that makes any sense.
Totally. I was actually, someone commented on, I just got an alert on a YouTube video that I'd done, and I was watching it, and it was one of the first workouts I did after between Chicago and New York last year. And right. Watching myself be like, I'm so excited to be able to go run today. And I have a tempo workout, which I haven't done in a few weeks. And Josh wants me to do like 8 15-minute miles for the first like 2 miles, and then 7:45 for the next 3 miles. Then he wants me to end with an all out final mile. And I was like, what? Oh, I used to be there. Oh, that used to be fun. And then granted, like, that workout ended up being horrible. But I missed that, knowing that that's where I was. And I, honest to God, I can't stop looking back. How the hell do I stop doing that in the terms of process goals?
Right. So, yeah, this comes to the bigger question of, you know, why am I running again? And what am I trying to accomplish here? And it sounds like right now, maybe running is, you're not running for the sake of a time. You're running for bigger reasons, because it's part of who you are. It's part of, you know, how people know you. And it sounds like you're trying to make it into something that's more, that can transfer into other areas too. That what you learn from running can be instructive in other parts of your life and other parts of other people's lives. You know, you're trying to expand out what you sort of like become, which is, you know, an icon for people who weren't always athletes and started out picking up running, and here they are trying to qualify for Boston. I mean, does that make sense?
Totally, and that kind of leads into one of my other questions: is getting started. Like, a lot of the questions that I saw that I, when I asked people, was giving up. Like, why is it so easy to set a goal, feel really excited about it, struggle a little bit, but maybe a week or 2 weeks in, give up on it or stop on it? And obviously, it's not the easier option. Quitting always sucks, but for so many people who don't have the forward thinking attitude of, this will get better and I can do this and I will get stronger if I can stick it out. What advice do you have for those people who have tried so many times and then always end up giving up on themselves or quote unquote failing or stopping?
So you and I have talked about this before, the whole idea that if I feel like this is something I have to do because I said I was going to, or because I set a goal and I always achieve my goals, you know, if it becomes a have-to situation, I'm working against myself. And my favorite theory of reactance, you know, that as soon as you tell me I have to do it, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think a big piece of this is to remember I have a choice. I don't have to do this. I mean, you wake up in the morning, and it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, and you schedule to go for a 5-mile run, and you say, I don't want to do that. And then you say to yourself, okay, I don't want to do that, but do I want to feel like a failure because I didn't? No, that feels even worse to me. So I'm going to choose to go for the run, even though it's not, you know, I'm not excited about it. But boy, am I going to feel much better to myself after I do it. And if you put one foot in front of the other and you just go do it, it turns out most of the time you have great runs because you have no high expectations for yourself. And when you're done, you go, wow, it's 8:30 now, and I've already put 5 miles in, and it's Saturday morning. Let's go charge the rest of the world, you know, the rest of today. So I think, to me, it's all about the choice thing. You know, it's all about, I don't have to do this. I'm choosing to do this. I want to do this more than I don't want to do it. I mean, I may be totally conflicted, but that's the choice I'm making. Or I could choose the other, and I know where that takes me, and I just choose not to do that.
Yeah. Well, then this
does that
is,
make sense?
Yeah, this is kind of a two-parter. When we have these training plans and we set these goals that feel like 3, 4, 6 months away, and when you look ahead, it feels so terrifying and impossible. Obviously, you can only do your best, which is like each and every day. But like, I think there's an element of embarrassment that I, at least I know I get. This is something I'm struggling with, is I'm embarrassed by where I'm at, which is it's totally new. And I've never felt embarrassed by my paces, and right now I do. I feel embarrassed about my fitness level. Like, what the hell is that, and why is that happening? Because it's so like, it's nonsense.
Yeah, but it's very real too. I mean, it happens with injured athletes who are coming back from, you know, time off for that reason, or people who've had to take time off for any reason. Is, you know, they imagine that they're going to be compared to where they were when they left, you know.
Yeah.
People are going to expect them to be right where they were. I think most people, you know, if they say, Kelly Roberts, yeah, she took a couple months off, and she's just getting back into it now, that right there is going to sort of set them up to not have much in the way of expectation. And in fact, you might surprise yourself and them and be better than you thought you would be and better than they thought you would be after taking a couple months off. In other words, does that make sense?
Yeah, because whenever I start to feel really crappy about it, like, obviously my times suffer and I take more walking breaks than when I do when I just kind of go out for the right reasons. But I like getting that day where all the right things happen and I don't feel pressure to run a certain way.
Right.
That's something I've never, I guess I kind of dealt with it in the beginning of BQ or Bust, but it feels different this time. I feel like everything, I feel like I'm being too hard on myself and it's all just, I feel like I'm putting way too much pressure on running for fun. I guess.
Yeah. There's a paradox for you, right?
Yeah. I'm driving myself nuts.
Are you cross training at all?
Yeah.
Anything else running?
I'm spinning and I'm going to start doing yoga. That's going to be my next challenge for myself.
And are you having fun with spinning?
Always.
Okay, so at least if you're not having fun with running, you can be spinning, which isn't quite the same as running, but it's still good cardio and it's still, you know, it's still a workout.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking for is ways to make it not just running.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, working on a treadmill or whether that's working in the sand. In other words, all your time standards is based on track workouts or on, you know, at least on good conditions. And so it's easy to know, oh, I'm not holding 725 anymore. But if you're running in sand or if you're running on a treadmill or if you're doing something different, then you really can't compare. You don't know how well you're doing, if that makes any sense. You're kind of fooling yourself. You could be really running fast and you wouldn't know, and you could be really running slow and you wouldn't know. It would just be, it's just running.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, that does. Change it up mentally.
Well, it's like, okay, so, I mean, my own personal example, I used to set time standards for myself. A workout consisted of 3 15-minute walking miles or 2,000 yards on the 130, 100 pace, whatever. And now I just look at, okay, if I walk 3 miles, it doesn't matter how fast I walk it, I walk 3 miles. So that's 100% of a workout. Now, I know you're trying to build towards something, so that's not going to work quite the same, but instead of, like, defining success as being doing it as opposed to doing it at a certain speed.
No, that makes sense. Because, I mean, especially, I think the humidity and the heat that we have here in New York right now is almost a gift because there's no, even if I was at 100%, like, my times would not be reflecting what I think they should be. So effort is, it makes sense. Like, doing everything I can to the point where I need to walk my recoveries makes sense to me.
And keep track of it because it will get better.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll cross some threshold and you'll go, now I want to keep track of my workouts again.
Yeah.
Before I didn't even want to know, but now, so I mean, for now, if you're supposed to go on a 5 mile run and you walk a mile of it or whatever, but you still go five, that's a success.
Yeah.
You did your distance. Now, eventually you'll go, if I don't do my 5 miles and under whatever, then it's not a success. But for now, just getting back out there again and putting in the miles, regardless of how fast they are, you're building a base right now, rebuilding your base.
This is kind of an interesting question that I stole from someone, but I'm kind of going to make it to myself. Coming back from an injury, like, how do you know the difference between actual physical limits when you're building that strength again, and then your right. own fear and predefined limits? Because I was talking with Mike this morning at my physical therapist, because my hips are still bothering me, which right. is so mind-boggling, because that was never an issue last year. That's still new. And I was like, why do you think this is, Mike? And he was telling me, I mean, it could be imbalances, Kelly. It could be we were running in different terrain in San Diego, but like I think it was stress, and it was that contributed with other stuff. So obviously I'm still working through that injury and it's a lot better than it was, but like, when do you know that your body's saying no, and when do you know that it's you saying I'm too afraid?
Right. So there's a couple pieces to it. One, obviously, you should listen to your physical therapist. You know, if you were seeing a doctor or whatever, then you'd be talking to that person too, to make sure that they told you if they thought there were any limits you should be putting on yourself. But really what I think it comes down to is the difference between being sore and being in pain. or hurting.
Yeah.
So if you're sore or stiff or, you know, it hurts, that's different from being in pain, meaning that you're doing something that your body doesn't want to do, that you're risking further injury kind of thing. And that every athlete struggles with what that threshold is. It goes both ways. Have such a high tolerance for pain that they'll run right through stuff that they shouldn't. And others will quit the minute that they twinge because they're afraid that they're going to do some damage. And trying to find that middle ground where you push yourself because it's sore, as opposed to push yourself, because past where you're in pain, which is your body telling you stop, this is not good for you. When you were in London, remember when we talked on the phone?
Yeah.
That was one of the questions that I asked you.
Yeah.
Are you sore and does it hurt, or are you in pain? And you said you were in pain. I said, well, can you still run? You said, yeah, I can. And that's when I said, okay, then you should keep going. But if you had said to me, no, the pain has stopped me from running right now, I'm walking because it hurts too much, then that would have been a medical reason to get off the course, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
So learning that difference is really, really hard. That's why I think, you've got to, when you feel like you maybe are crossing that threshold into the same place where you need to stop, you go to the PT and you say, can you tell if that's what's happening? And a lot of times they can tell from range of motion and where it hurts and when it hurts, whether it's soreness that's just really bad or whether it's pain that's saying, stop, we got to check this out.
That makes sense. All right, here's my last question. I think it's going to be a big one. Someone asked about coming back from a string of bad half marathons. And again, I'm going to take this and turn this into a question for me. I still have the worst taste in my mouth and so much residual sadness from BQ or bust, even though I know that race was a success and I'm still so proud of what I did. And I do 100% think that had my hip not have blown up, that it would have totally happened and I probably would have blown my goal out of the water. And I was so happy with my strength and the training process and everything that happened. I'm still so frustrated that after an entire year I did not get that outcome I thought I deserved, which I think is right there is the issue. But what the hell, what do I do?
Yeah, how do I get rid of that anger, right? I mean,
I'm so angry.
Yeah, no, and you and I have talked about this in the past, about how anger is an emotion of the past.
Yeah.
You get mad at something that happened, and if you stay mad, then you're losing out on the moment.
Yeah.
So I think it comes back to this, the same essential question you've been asking throughout this whole discussion, which is, why am I running? Why did I come back at all to running? Is it because I didn't qualify for Boston and I still want to make that goal? Is it because running's just part of my therapy and it's just who I've become and I need to do it for me? Which I think is probably the answer you'll agree with. Or is it part of, who I've become as a sort of marketable entity, and, I need to run for that reason. Obviously, I hope it's the middle one. I hope it's because running is just a piece of something that you do for yourself. It helps you to know how strong you are. It helps you to feel like you're successful at something that's really difficult for you to do. It's all the things we talked about all throughout the whole, run, selfie, repeat thing. That if that's why you're running, then it doesn't really matter that you haven't qualified for Boston yet. You still have plenty more opportunities if that becomes important to you again.
Yeah, I guess I still haven't accepted that. I'm still waiting for someone to come to me with a time machine to be like, wait, we can go back and try again.
Have you ever written, I think you probably have, given you what's gone on with your family, but you've read about the stages of grief, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, in essence, when you didn't make the BQ, you lost something. You lost what felt like a year of time, and it felt like a lot of pain and, effort. You didn't get what you wanted, and in fact, you sort of lost what you wanted, and it felt like you got cheated out of it in the way that you get hurt a week before London. So you are going to go through all those stages. You are going to have anger. You are going to have denial. You are going to have bargaining and negotiation. You're going to have sadness. And eventually you'll have acceptance. But it sounds to me like you've stayed sort of in that angry stage for a while now. And it's probably led you to do some things that, or not do some things that you could have been doing, like running, you know, like taking some time off. You needed to do that to get through those stages of grief, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's annoying because people will ask me, you know, like, well, when do you think you'll try again? And my answer is like, I honestly don't think I will. I don't know if I want to, which I have my whole entire life to try again. So I obviously it's not something that needs to happen. But I think I keep waiting for that excitement, that spark to come. And it isn't there.
So the answer to the question, when will you try again? When I choose to.
Yeah.
When it becomes what I want to do. And for now, it's not where my energies are lying. You know, I've learned so much from running, and it's taken me so many places that I never would have gotten to go. I'm enjoying all those things that it's doing for me now. And EQ is not high on that list. There's a lot of other things out there that are much more exciting. Still involve running. Just don't involve running for an outcome goal.
I know, it's such like a, I don't want to say silly because it's not a silly goal, but in the grander scheme of things, it is such like a narrow, it's such a small piece of the giant puzzle that I'm like hyper focused on.
You know, it's really, here's an interesting way to look at it, and just a little bit because I know you, I've known you a lot longer than you've been a runner. What I sense is a different Kelly, sort of developing as you go here. And whereas running was something you did for yourself when you started, I think now running has become something that is an avenue for helping change a lot of other people's lives, and you're using it that way. And so, I mean, some of the things you've talked about, where it's taking you now, and even the sports bra thing, and all of that, November Project, those have all been ways that running has helped you get out and influence a bigger audience than just you. Where you know people who know you and think, how cool is that? She ran a marathon. This is now, you know, how cool is that? You know, she's building opportunities for young women. She's speaking out about, you know, all kinds of social issues, and much more involved in the bigger picture of life than just, you know, being a runner.
Yeah, I guess that's weird. I guess I'm still trying to adjust to that. I mean, I spent a good 2 or 3 years there drinking the running Kool-Aid, you know,
right.
And now the blinders are kind of coming off, and I still love to run. Like when I get to run with my friends and we aren't really paying attention, we're just having fun. Those are still the best. And I get to run with gratitude. But when I put that, like, I'm a serious runner cap back on, it just feels wrong.
Well, don't put it on.
Yeah.
And when other people try and put it on for you, tell them no. You
know, yeah.
Because really, your market has never been the serious runner.
Yeah.
The people you're reaching out to are the people who want to run for all the reasons that you run. Because it's fun, it's healthy, it's exercise. It's funny, as we're talking, let me just see if I can find this. The research on why kids play sports up until about age 12 or so suggests that winning and things like that are not nearly as important as having fun, getting in shape, having friends. I wanna find this real quickly and read you the list and tell me if this doesn't describe why you like to run. I think it will, and it's research on 12-year-olds. So it sounds, you know, silly, but
no way.
I think it's let me just see if I can quickly find this on my iPad. So I'm stalling as we talk here.
No worries. I want to hear this.
Here it is. Okay, so up until about age 12, kids want to learn new skills. They want to have fun. They want to have friends. It's exciting and thrilling. They get in shape and it's exercise. And the very last reason that they play sports is to compete, to win. Okay? And the reasons they quit, they're not learning new skills. They're not having any fun. They're not making friends. It's just the opposite, you know. So, and winning or losing is not really a reason why they quit either. And down when they get a little bit older than that, and parents start getting involved and, you know, telling them how important it is to win, then it's different. So you, until recently, were a 12-year-old runner. You were here for all the right reasons.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like, honestly.
Yeah. And then, and so when I talk to parents about this, you know, I tell them that the whole thing they have to focus on with kids is the things kids have control over, which is not winning and losing. And the same thing for adults. You don't have control over whether you win or lose or whether you qualify for Boston or not. You have control over a certain number of things, you know, your training plan, all that. And after that, you know, it's a crapshoot. In this case, it didn't happen, but you have no regrets about the journey. That's what I want you to focus on is you have a year of training that you can't even imagine you would have ever been able to have.
Yeah.
You had fun doing it. You know, you made new friends, you had fun, you learned new skills, you were thrilled and excited, you were exercising fitness, you're all the things that a 12-year-old would do it for.
That is so funny. I think that's why, you know, when I even talked about it just now earlier, this that the Be Cure Best training did end up being so much fun was because it's for a while there, it stopped being about the goal because I knew I could do it and I loved pushing myself because I had moved through that phase of like, I don't think I can do this. I can't do this. This is stupid and insane and I'm going to embarrass myself. And I went, no, I can. And this is great and this is fun and I love how I feel. And I love seeing what I'm capable of. And then the second I got hurt, it became about, well, shit, I'm not going to do this thing anymore. Oh, man, people are going to be disappointed in me. And then I just clung on to that for dear life and just sunk like a rock.
And of course, the feedback you got from most everybody that I ever saw.
Everyone.
Opposite,
yeah.
Right?
Which I knew, too. But
emotionally, yeah, no. Intellectually, you knew it, but emotionally, here's where I think that comes from. When I talk to parents, I talk about the distinction between winning and losing and being a winner or a loser. And I think, you know, we talk about winning and losing. So in a sports game, for instance, or let's take a marathon. In a marathon, if you say it's all about winning, one person goes away happy and 10,987 others are losers in that respect.
Yeah.
They didn't win. But if you look at it in terms of every single person who towed the line and finished or even made every effort possible to finish, they're all winners in that sense. And there are no losers except the ones who didn't even go to the line or, you know, went to the line and quit for no good reason. But everybody else wins because they're winners as opposed to winning because they had the fastest time. Does that make sense at all?
Totally. And I mean, even to link it back to what I just went through with all that online harassment and cyberbullying and the crazy witch hunt that happened, you know, like it was those people who see the winners as the person who wins or the people who could win.
Exactly.
As worthy of being supported by a brand or being able to monetize what their platforms instead of people who speak to the 10,000 other people specifically.
Yeah, it's what I call athletic capital. If you're good at something, you can get away with a lot more stuff than if you're not very good at it. You know, they'll just you look at Dennis Rodman and all the great, you know, basketball players that are the biggest jerks in the world. You know, they can do it because they're good at something. You know, if you're mediocre or moderate or, you know, even average, then you don't get that kind of latitude. And it's stupid because the people who do the most good are the people like you who aren't necessarily, you know, super runners, but they're superhuman beings, I guess the way to put it.
That, yeah, I never thought about it like that. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal in the sports psychology world because sometimes you end up, you know, the people who need the most help in my world are the people I least want to be associated with sometimes.
Yeah. So, oh, that's hard.
I'd much rather talk to somebody like you, you know, humble about what they do and, you know, realistic about where they stand and has their feet, you know, anchored to the ground than somebody who, you know, all their lives has been treated special just because they could, you know, run fast or throw a football or whatever they can do.
Ugh, brutal. Do you think, this is unrelated, do you think the, like, self-efficacy is a huge, giant mountain that stands in the way of, like, people like me who, when we're just getting started, like, developing that language of I can?
Well, to me, self-efficacy is really what people are aiming for in whatever they do. Self-confidence is such a generalized term that everybody uses, but self-efficacy really is very task-specific, and it's, you know, it's very focused on the belief. Do you have the belief that you can do what it takes to be successful at whatever it is you're trying to do? And is that belief based in any kind of reality? I always tell people, you know, I can stand on the top of a 10-story building and I can believe I can fly. I just know that I can do it. I've told myself a million times and I believe it. And when I jump off the building, I still won't feel the fly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I've trained to run a 3.5-hour marathon and my coaches believe I can do it and everything shows that I can, if I go to the line saying, I don't think I can do this, guess what's going to happen? But if I go to the line saying, I got this, then guess what's going to happen? Unless my hip flares up in the middle of the race, in which case I'm screwed, even though I was ready to go and I believed in myself.
Yeah.
Which I think describes somebody that I know.
Me.
Yeah.
I am coming out of it. Like, I'm so grateful that I had the race I had, because my God, what a gift to be able to work through that in real time.
Right.
But in the perfect world, like, that would have been so nice to have such an easy little bow put on my perfect little experience.
you remember this from Poppy, you know. Nobody said life was fair. Don't even use that word in front of me, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't fair, but, you know, that's just the way things are sometimes. But it goes back to my most basic belief that the universe makes no mistakes. So there was a reason why it happened the way it did, and some directions that it's taken you that it might not have otherwise. And, you know, if you think about it, where would you be if you qualified? You
know, I would have had done it again. Really had to run Boston.
Yeah.
I'd probably be running a fall marathon too. Ugh. No, I think trying to figure out how to enjoy that race is a million times harder than having to try to beat you.
Right.
To be honest.
Well, there you go.
So that was a win. Well, this has been incredibly helpful.
I hope so. Sometimes you have to go away from it and think about it for a while, and then if you want to talk again, you can do that for sure.
No, I'm ready to start building strength again and focus on smaller distances and less on times per se, but more on that feeling that how strong can I get?
Right.
That I love.
I was just thinking that, you know, I'm doing some work with a swim team, and we developed what we're calling a visual cue. I mean, I know you and I have talked about this too, you know, that word that sort of describes how you feel when you're running at your best. And I think it might be time to start thinking about what that looks like for you and putting it on a bracelet or on something that you carry around with you just as a refresher. But when I start getting into that bad place again, I want to remember that feeling, whatever it is, you know. I can't remember what word we talked about with you before, but it's got to be, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was no regrets, no excuses, and there's something else. There was one other.
Okay, well, the no excuses, no regrets thing, I think, is a good, that would be a good, you know, bracelet to create for yourself.
Use every single day, to be honest.
That's great.
That has been the biggest gift to my life. In so many ways. And I'm trying to get Sam to believe it, but she is fighting so hard. She's fighting so hard.
That's funny. Well, I made one of these bracelets for my, I had our whole swim team do this. They all came up with their own word, and I bought wristbands for them that they could write on, and they each put their name, their slogan or their word or whatever it was onto their wristband so that they could have them for the season. And I had to do one for myself. I just put my initials.
Mm.
For me, you know, being like my dad, and because I don't know if you know the story, but I was not born with my dad's middle name. I had to change my name when I was a kid, and because I wanted to be just like him. So that's always meant a lot to me. And I was getting away from some of the values that he stood for and that I stood for. And I started to remind myself, I put my initials and his initials down just to keep me on the path that I want to be on. So that's what I'm suggesting to you, is, you know, put that on something and keep that in your head, and you start to feel like, ugh, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. I'm too slow or whatever.
Yeah, I think I've forgotten a lot of the patience that I need. I think it was important for me to, like, not try to fix what I was going through and to kind of sit with it and let it kind of just be. Because that's my biggest issue, is I want to be like, all right, I'm going through this thing. Let's find the resources. Let's find the statistics. Let's get through this as quickly as we can. And this time I was kind of like, no, let's just sit with this for a while. And now I'm like, all right, what are the statistics? What can we do? Let's get over this.
I'd actually just change one piece of that. Let's get the statistics. I am over it.
Yeah.
If now's the time, then now's the time. You know, and
yeah, look, today is the day.
Right. You shift gears probably as quickly as anybody I know when it comes to that. Now you can be in one place in 1 second and in a whole other place in another second.
Yeah.
Just go with that. I mean, it's a great skill to have, although it can be very confusing to other people.
Yes, it can. That is totally the truth. One last question that someone asked is, do you have any favorite books or works for people who want to work on their mental game, like recommendations?
You know, it's funny. I get that question all the time. To be honest with you, I don't really do a lot of bibliotherapy kind of stuff, like recommending books to people, because everyone is different in what they like.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, when I look at those things, 99% of them are saying the same thing, just different packaging and different words, maybe. So they're all okay. You know, I mean, they're basically all pretty much saying the same thing. You've got to stay in the moment. You've got to stay focused on the process. You know, it's the same thing that I say to people. So, no, I don't really have anything in particular. If somebody sees something that, you know, a running book, and they're into running, and they read it, and it helps them, it's probably good stuff. I mean, you're not going to see a lot of lies out there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I've read bajillions of running books, and half of them I'm like, this is a bunch of hocus pocus.
Right, something that I didn't know already, and I just paid money. They got me to buy the book.
Yeah. Well, good. That makes everything easier. That's what I almost replied to them. I'm like, just listen to what he says when he talks to me.
Well, and that's, you know.
And journal.
Yeah. I mean, I go to these conferences and I hear the best people in the world saying the same stuff that I'm saying. They just say it in different words. So, you know, I think there's a truth out there, and some people know what it is, and other people try and sell something resembling the truth and make money at it. So, speak the truth.
That is the best life advice ever. You're the best. Thank you. Thank you. This has been the craziest 7 months yet.
Well, you say that now, and 5 years from now, we'll see if it's still the truth.
Oh, God. No, I don't think I can handle anything else.
Yeah, but it could be crazy good, too. So
that's true. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll talk again.
Yeah, very soon.
Okay, ciao for now.
I think the hardest thing about getting started is knowing that it gets better, but still struggling to feel motivated. This is a very different feeling for me, because I know better. I've been through this so many times, and I know that in order to move forward, I have to continue to show up. And I love what Dr. Bob said about just focusing on the process and setting process goals. instead of a big giant finish line. And for me, like someone who's always been motivated by huge impossible goals, like this is just another opportunity to strengthen a muscle and focus on something that I've really never focused on before, or at least that I haven't focused on in a really long time. So I'm excited about running for me, running for the joy of it, and really focusing on giving the gift of health, strength, and love and joy to myself, because that's something that I haven't been doing it for a while, for a couple months, and I miss that. I miss really feeling excited about getting to run. So that's my goal, is to get back to that place. So I hope this helped. I hope this means a lot to you. Before we wrap up, I once again want to thank the sponsor of this episode of the Run Selfie Repeat podcast, Squarespace, the website hosting platform that helped me make my next move, find myself, discover my voice, and really it put me on the path to becoming the force that I am today and the woman that I am today. So if you are looking to share your story, start a blog, or just give the gift of your voice to the world, do it on Squarespace. Use offer code Kelly to save 10% off your purchase of website and domain address. And then when you do that, shoot me an email at kelly@runselfierepeat.com and let me know that you did it, and let me know what your website is so that I can celebrate you. Yeah? All right. The hardest part is showing up, but set daily goals, friends. We can do anything. So go out, kick ass, take names. Yes? I'll catch you next time.